love spring. I love plants growing. I love the greenery that happens out of all the dark brown and dark black and death, in a sense, that all these green sprouts come up and the leaves begin to turn green. It's just, for me, it speaks of hope and life and regeneration. It's the only way I can describe it. Maybe having lived on a farm in my early years, that helped me to feel that way. I don't know, but it just encourages me. Every spring, it just gives me hope of new things. And I believe that during this springtime, during even this event, that I believe that God wants to give us hope during this season. I remember in grade three, I don't know how old I would be, but I'm guessing, you know, eight, nine years old, somewhere in there. We had a science project. It was done in the spring, and what we had to do was bring a clear mason jar, so just one of those clear glass jars, to school. We were told to bring it, and so we brought them, and the teacher had this bag of lima beans, and she took the beans and dumped them in water, and they were in there for maybe 3 or 4 days, and then what she had us do was to take our jars, and we had to take a piece of cardboard. It wasn't thick cardboard, but thin cardboard, you know, kind of like thick paper, construction paper. And we had to cut it in such a way that we could put it inside the mason jar and it would go up against the walls of the mason jar. And then what we had to do was take about, I think they gave us each 4 seeds, and we had to take those 4 seeds and we had to put them between the paper and the glass of the mason jar. So we slid them down using pencils, slid them down. So they're about halfway down all the way around. So you could look through the glass jar, there was the colored paper behind, but you could see each of the seeds. And then what we did, we put about 2 inches of water in the bottom. And so that was it. And I'm looking at this thing saying, well, what is this going to be? But we had to each day observe what was happening. And so it was amazing. It only took about 2 or 3 days, and all of a sudden we saw that the seed actually started to turn kind of black. It was a white seed, this lima bean seed. It was actually white, but it started to kind of turn black and ugly. And in fact, I'm looking at it, my observation, I said, the seed's dead. Like, you know, there's nothing going to happen out of this. But here's what happened. A couple days later, there was this little white sprout comes out of the bottom. And I'm like, what is that? You know, so I recorded that down. And then a few days later, another little sprout comes out of the top. And anyway, to make a long story short, as time went on, the bottom sprout became a root system. It actually went down, down into the water. And then the sprout at the top came up and it popped up, you know, green leaves and began to grow. It was the most amazing thing. As a young person, I was amazed. And I'd grown up on a farm. I'd seen plants grow, but I'd never seen what happened behind the scenes. You know, here I am. I'm having a clear view of what was going on under the soil, in a sense. And it was a miracle that was happening. And it's interesting that just years later, I was reading the scriptures. Even before I was born again, I was reading the scriptures. And in John chapter 12, which talks about the time just before Jesus was going to go to the cross. In John chapter 12, verse 23, he says, the hour's come. And then he says the very next thing. He says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And I realized that lima seed, that if it had been left in the package, could sit there for 100 years and nothing would happen. But until it was taken and it was germinated, then it could die, and literally die meaning turn black and ugly, but it could produce seed after itself. And I believe that that's what seed time is all about, is reproducing, in a sense. But here's the thing. You and I have to come to a place in our faith walk to realize that we are called to be seed planters and that this is seed time. And again, for some of us, we're just kind of sheltering in place, kind of batting down the hatches at this point. I don't believe that we should be doing that as Christians. Though we're sheltering in place, we can still be actively planting seed. And so I want to talk to you today about what the Word of God has to say concerning this. I believe there's some encouraging truths there for you and I, and that as we look at these scriptures, we can learn how to be seed planters even during this season of time. So let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll go to God's Word. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having your word, of having your truth, of having your revelation, that we can grow in the knowledge of who you are and who we are, so that we can do your will, glorify you, and be blessed ourselves. So Lord, show us this day how to be good seed planters, because it's seed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your scriptures, if you have a Bible, your app on your phone, if you go to Genesis, that's where we're going to be, Genesis chapter 8. Just to give you the context a little bit, it's near the beginning of creation. God has created Adam and Eve, and they've proliferated, had children, many children, perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children, not them, but their descendants have. And so here we are at the point where it says that evil was in the hearts of everyone. And God decided that he was going to just eliminate mankind. But the Bible says this, that he found that Noah was righteous in his sight. And so God asked Noah to build an ark so that him and his wife and his kids, his three sons and their wives would be saved. And so we're picking the story up after the flood happens, after all of mankind is wiped out and it's just Noah and his family are left to restart populating the earth. And God makes a statement in Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And so this scripture has a lot to say for us. First of all, you'll note that seed time and harvest are connected. They're right there together. And so one of the reasons why I want to bring this up is this, that planting seed can be difficult at times. And so what's our motivation? Well, we're not planting the seed just to plant the seed and see that it grows up, but we're actually wanting the harvest from what that seed produces. And so that's how we have to understand our walk with God, that a part of for us to get a harvest, there has to be seed planted. I think of Jesus, he said, when he was walking the earth, he said to his disciples, he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And so the idea is that to get a harvest, the laborers had to plant seed so that there would be a harvest. And so I want to ask you this before I even move on. Are you a seed planter, spiritually speaking? You know, I believe that God has called us to be seed planters, each and every one of us, to plant the seeds of God's love and mercy, the true gospel, you know, the good news that Jesus died on the cross. In fact, here's Jesus ultimately being that kernel of wheat that fell to the ground, what I quoted from John chapter 12. He literally was saying as he was going to go to the cross, I have to die so that I can be multiplied. What did he mean by that? Well, what he meant by that, he said to his disciples a little earlier on, he said, look, if I go, it's better, because if I go, I can send the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in each and every one of you. So Jesus had to physically die so that we could become part of his kingdom and his Holy Spirit could come and live in each and every one of us. In other words, he can multiply himself in us. It's an amazing miracle. And so literally, in a sense, Jesus has planted himself in us. It's so cool, isn't it? And so as we begin to go on here, just look at this. It says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Here's the reality of it. God promises way back in Genesis that the concept of seed time and harvest, that principle, will never stop. In other words, COVID-19 will not stop it. You hear what I'm saying? You know, when the Spanish flu happened in 1918, it didn't stop it then. When different events have happened, 9/11 happened, it didn't stop it then. In other words, the seasons carried on in the natural. And I believe the principle is the same for us in the realm of the spirit, that if it's that way in the natural, then seed time and harvest cannot be stopped by anything, because God himself says in the word, it shall never cease. But it's interesting to note, it says there'll be heat and cold, you know, there'll be summer and winter. He's basically saying there's going to be some adverse conditions at times. You know, there's going to be times where it's going to be difficult, where it's extremely cold or extremely hot. In other words, making a point that it's not going to be easy always to plant that seed. But are we to be followers of what we see or who we know? And it's important for us as seed planters of God to follow the one who's eternal in nature, and not go by what's going on around us. It's so, so important for us to have that heart, to not be deceived, in a sense, by what we see, but more importantly, to follow who we know. And so, never will cease. Thank God for that. Okay, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Very interesting. And again, this is a principle from God's word. And it says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. I love that. So who planted? The Apostle Paul is the one that wrote 1 Corinthians. And basically he's saying, look, I planted seed. Now you literally, in the original language, it's the most amazing thing. In the original language, it can mean two different things. It could literally mean planting a physical seed in the ground. That's literally what it can mean. Or the other meaning of it is it to plant a doctrine or to plant a truth from God's word. And so it means both. And so here's what the Apostle Paul is saying here in context of this. I'm planting truths in your life. And Apollos, who was another believer in the Lord, another teacher in the Lord, was trying to bring encouragement. And so he would water that seed because you got to have that as well. But here's the cool part. Who caused it to grow? Did the Apostle Paul cause it to grow? Did Apollos cause it to grow? No, the word says this. God causes it to grow. In other words, the miracle is caused by God. In fact, scientists today still don't really understand how a seed can germinate and how it does what it does. They still are fascinated by it. It's the most amazing thing. And yet, here God says he causes the miracle. Even with the conception of a little baby in a womb, though they can scientifically kind of explain it, they still can't really get it. They're like, we don't know why this can happen, because only God can do it. Amen. Thank God for what he can do. But seed time and harvest. Let's talk a little bit more about the whole seed part about it. The entire Bible, and this is so important, is full of seed. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, look, I planted doctrine. I planted seed. What was he doing? He would go from place to place and preach the word of God. He would share from the Bible and say, look, here's truth from God's word. And then Apollos would water. In other words, other people would build upon that foundation. But God ultimately would cause the increase. Here's my point. The entire Bible is like a giant granary full of all seeds of truth that God has for us. But in a sense, in that granary, it can't produce after itself. It can't go anywhere or be anything in itself. It's there. The truths are there in God's word. But here's the thing. How can that seed germinate, the truths of God's word? Here's how. There's only one way. That seed has to be placed in the soil of a human heart. That's the only place and the only time that it can germinate. That's the only place that a miracle where God can make that miracle happen, where that truth germinates and becomes revelation to you and I. So let me ask you this question right now. Are you allowing God's seed to come into your life, his truths to permeate your being? The only way you can do that, there's no way around it. You've got to read God's word. You've got to put the seed in your heart. Now, obviously, I'm giving you some seed this morning, and I pray that it's good and it's encouraging. But ultimately, you need to take what I've said and compare it to God's word and say, look, this is for me, and it's for today. And then allow that seed, that seed that is there, and it's just in a state where it can't do anything. But once it's placed into a human heart, the soil, the good soil of a human heart, it can germinate and grow and flourish and produce fruit. That's what God wants to do in your life and in my life. Amen. And so some of us plant, some of us water, but the miracle is left to God. He causes the growth. So let me say this, and you maybe heard me going back and forth a little bit with this. There's actually two kinds of seed that we deal with. There's what I call spiritual seed and natural seed, and both are very important. So I don't want to diminish either one. Both are important, but one does have a priority, and that's spiritual seed. And so let me share this with you to begin with on the spiritual side, and then we'll move into the natural side. First of all, the most important seed of all is found in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 to 25. And here's what it says. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So here's how that scripture says. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. What does that mean? Well, perishable seed means natural seed. And natural seed, as good as seed is, eventually will rot and decay and become nothing. You know, every plant that grows will decay and rot and be gone, right? But here's the thing. this scripture is telling us that we have been born again of imperishable seed. In other words, eternal seed. By what? The living and enduring word of God. And what does that mean? Well, it means that the seed of God's word has gone into us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That seed was eternal in nature, meaning that because of that seed in us, we have eternal life because we've been born again. Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus into your heart so that he could put his eternal seed in you so that you could have eternal life, his Holy Spirit to abide and be with you for eternity? If you haven't done this, this isn't about joining a church. It isn't about joining Reach Out Church or even some other group or church, but rather it's about joining the household of God, the family of God. And if you haven't done that, you can do it right now, right in your living room, right in your kitchen, right in your car. You know, wherever you are watching this right now, you literally can say, Jesus, I want that imperishable seed to be planted in me. I want to be born again. I want to leave my old way of life. I don't want to do things that are wrong. I want to do only right things. I want to follow you. I repent of my old ways. I turn from them, and I choose to follow you. Jesus, save me. If you pray a prayer like that, again, don't repeat my words, but if you give a heartfelt prayer like that to God and ask him for your help, the Bible says this, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or another version says this, shall be rescued. God wants to rescue you right at this very moment. So let him, so that you can have the Comforter come and live in you. That's another word for the Holy Spirit, amen? And have that imperishable seed put in you that you can flourish and grow all the way into eternity. Amen. That's my heart for you. And so the most important seed of all is the imperishable, the supernatural seed of God. Now, here's the thing. There's natural seed that you and I deal with as well. Now, why is the supernatural more important than the natural? Here's why. If we just plant natural seed without the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to plant bad seed at the wrong place, at the wrong time. We're going to do all kinds of things that we're going to miss the mark. But as we allow God supernaturally to direct us and guide us, then even in the natural, the seeds that we plant will flourish and grow and we'll have a harvest. See, here's the reality of it. Most of you probably didn't grow up on a farm like myself. But I want to say this, all of you are farmers in a sense. And you, right now you're like, whoa, hold on. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. All of you plant seeds in the natural. You went to school, many of you. I hope most of you have gone to school or you're in school right now. Well, why are you going to school? Well, you could say because you have to, all right, but let's put that to the side. Why? So you can learn to read and write, do arithmetic, right? You know, and so why? So that you can have a future. So that when you go to a job and they hand you a manual, you're able to read that manual. When you have to do calculations to maybe build a roof if you're in construction, you have some math skills to be able to do that. So in other words, you've been sowing from a young person, you've been sowing. You look at all the children's toys that are good, you know, educational type toys. What are they doing? They're helping that young child plant seeds of learning so then later life there'll be tools for them. Think of going to college or university. Why do you do that? You're planting seeds. You're spending time and money and effort. Why? To get a harvest of a good job afterwards. So in other words, all of us are planting seeds at different levels. But it's not always easy, is it? You know, planting seed to get a harvest is not always easy. I'm reminded of my father who 40 years ago now it would be. I remember as a little kid looking out the window in the springtime. And I got I still remember, it's a single pane glass, so I pushed my nose up and you could feel the cold of outside. And I could see him out in the field sowing seed. And it was early, early in the spring, about a month earlier than it is now. And the wind was blowing. And you could even see snow, just like we had that snow yesterday, that little blizzard, mini blizzards that we had. You know, the snow's blowing. And it was back in the day where we didn't have a tractor that had a covered cab. It was just open. You know, and he had this old World War II surplus soldier's jacket, you know, it was this big long trench coat type thing, and it was wrapped around him. He had this Russian hat wearing it with the earmuffs down, and you could see he was, you know, huddling like this as he's going back and forth. And I remember him coming in, and literally you could see the dirt on his face, and you could see where tears had streamed down his eyes because the wind had whipped into his eyes and literally had moved the dirt on each side of his face. And I'm like, Daddy, why do you go out now? Why don't you wait for the weather to be nicer? And he'd say, Son, you don't understand right now, but we have to plant now so that we can get a harvest. And I reminded of even my own daughter who went to nursing school, and there's different times where she would come crying to me at home or call me on the phone and say, "Daddy, it's just too hard. I just can't do this." And I'd have to say, "Honey, I'm reminding you, doing this for your future. I know it's hard now, but in the end, there will be a harvest." And we need to understand that though it might be hard now, that in the future, it will be rewarding, whether it's in the spirit or in the natural. The question is, are you willing to sow seeds now? Here's the thing. You might say, "Well, what can I do right now?" Well, listen to me. If you're in a place of being, you know, you need more education, listen, you don't have to go any place to look into that. You can go online. You can see what's available. You can already begin to make plans to go to school in the fall. I believe the schools are going to be open. You're going to be able to do it. Some courses you can start online right now. It's amazing. You may need even some training, some less formal type training where it's free. Do you know how many YouTube training videos there are on different things? It's amazing what's available to all of us. And what are we doing when we do that? We're planting seed into our lives. And it's so important for us not just to get caught like the rest of the world, kind of in a pause mode, because that's literally what much of the world is doing. It's just in pause, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Everything is going to be okay in the end. That's what I could tell you. And so for us as born-again, spirit-filled believers, let's be proactive. Let's begin to plan. Let's begin to plant seeds. Why? It's planting time now, because we want to see a harvest in the future. And so as I bring this to a close, I have just a couple of thoughts, but I want to show you something first. I'm going to try to get this to the corner camera so they can see it. So hopefully you can see this little seed that I'm holding. It's a little acorn seed. 3 or 4 years ago, Sandra and I were walking down by the Hudson River, actually, and I saw underneath this giant oak tree all these little seeds. So I picked up a couple of them, put them in my pocket, and they found their way into my drawer in my desk office upstairs. They've been there for 3 or 4 years. And so it's pretty amazing when you think of this little seed. Contained within this little seed is the potential of a giant oak tree. Yet sitting in the drawer of my desk here at work, it will never become anything more than a little seed. And so the 2 points that I want to talk to you about right now is this. First, the most important, are you allowing God to let his seed be germinated in you? Are you planting his seeds of truth in your heart so that you can grow spiritually? That is more important than anything else. And I can't emphasize that enough. But then the next step is this. As you are being led and directed by God, as he's putting that seed, those truths in you, are you coming to a place of realizing the tremendous potential that you have as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, and that God has more for you than you have right now, but it may require you planting some seed. You may have planted seed in the past, and God bless you for that, but I believe that we as believers need to continually be planting new seed for a harvest. In fact, I dare say this, some of us need to pray for crop failure where we've planted some bad seed in the past. In other words, we need to ask God for wisdom in how to deal with the bad seed that's yielding fruit right now. And God will give you wisdom. Amen? So I can't encourage you enough on those 2 things. First of all, let me go back. Let me just reemphasize this because I didn't make a slide about this. Are you allowing God to let his seed, his truth, germinate in your life? Are you growing spiritually? And second of all, are you being directed and guided by him to sow seed right here, right now, in the natural? Because not only does God want to bless us spiritually, he wants to bless us in this life so that we can be an example to the world of how when you do things God's way, that you're blessed. So others can say, how come you're blessed in when the storms of life are happening? Here you are, you're steadfast and you're steady. What makes you different? And you can sow the seed into their hearts that God loves them too, and they can have the same peace and same stability and same guidance as you. That's the most amazing miracle of seed time. It's not just about us. It's about God's kingdom growing and flourishing here on this earth. Doesn't the scripture say that we're to bring heaven to earth? Doesn't the scripture say that we're to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, just as things are flourishing in heaven, God has called us to be agents, to plant seeds here so that we can flourish, but also those around us can see that and flourish as well. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, I thank you for every person that took time to tune in to this message. Lord God, in a sense, they were wanting to plant seed in their hearts. And so, Lord, I'm grateful that they took the time to do that. And I pray, Lord, for every single person that's heard the sound of my voice, Lord God, whether right now, this morning, or in the days and weeks to come, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the seed that I've said would go deep within the hearts of every hearer. And that, Lord, that which was ordained by you, that which you intended, would grow and flourish, that we would be encouraged in our walk of faith with you and our walk on this earth as well. So, Lord, I speak a blessing over every single person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. I pray God's richest blessings upon you. Again, I encourage you, be connected to us. I think they'll put the connect slide up at the end so that you can know how things are going to be changing in the weeks and the season to come. But we are praying for you. You are on our hearts. And I ask you to keep us in prayer as well. In Jesus' name, amen.